Are you running out of content ideas for your business that aren't just repeated, redundant, and boring? Well, we got you covered today with what's called adjacent topic content marketing right here, right now. It's On Air Brands. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I am Todd Genetasio along with my co-host Amber Furman. Amber, what's going on today?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm feeling a lot of pressure today because I am not just on the mic with you, but I'm also the one controlling behind the scenes. And so as I just played the intro music there, I was like, what's going to happen when it ends?
Yes. Like, what do I do next? It's so crazy because I never realized how amazing having somebody behind there was until I had to go host my shows without it. And I was like, can I just like borrow you? Will you just come with me?
Well, yeah, I used to do my shows when I do recorded shows. I actually use Skype and Ecamm, and I would be behind the scenes. So when I would ask a question to the guest, I would flip it. So it's just that on them. And, but you know, doing some back and forth with that. But I haven't done that in like a year and a half or 2 years. So I might be a little rusty here, guys. So if just bear with me if there's any glitches.
Patience. I'm sure our audience is extremely patient.
Yes. And speaking of patience, we have a very exciting announcement today. This is our first like breaking news announcement, I think, that we've ever had on the show.
Breaking news.
Normally, PodMax is about every month. But, you know, being the summer, July is not going to have a PodMax event. So our next PodMax event will be on. Let's see if I can get the ticker. Here we go. 8/27. And so if you're interested in being a guest on a bunch of great shows, podmax.co. Plus, we have a couple of keynote announcements to make. We have up first is Caleb Silver, who is the editor-in-chief of Investopedia. And what's awesome about what they have going on is that they actually launched a podcast earlier this year. I want to say February. And he's going to talk about, you know, why they launched it, what it's doing for the business, you know, some of the struggles that they've encountered so far, what they've done to overcome them, and all that stuff. So, you know, for our listeners, you guys, if you have shows or you want to have a show, you want to be producing content regularly, that's definitely something you want to be there for and to hear live. And then up next is our good friend Matt Faircloth, who is a monster creator on YouTube. He's got a book with Bigger Pockets. He's a contributor at Bigger Pockets. So this man is a content creating machine. He has become a dominant authority in the real estate investment space. So he's going to be talking about content creation and personal brands as it relates to business. So again, something that you guys definitely don't want to miss. Make sure you sign up and register. It's August 27th. You can go and sign up at podmax.co today.
Yeah, I'm so excited for both of those. That was a lot, Todd.
That was a lot.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm really excited for Matt to come in for sure, because this idea of personal brands, I think, is something that is relatively new when it comes to business, because for so long we were in this mentality with business that your business is separate from your personal. You don't talk about your personal stuff. And then we learned that people buy things from people they know, like, and trust. And there are, you know, 9 million people selling the same thing that you are. Yeah. So then personal brands became a thing, and learning how to merge those but still stay relevant to your business is a huge conversation. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. And what Matt has going on that's super cool, and full transparency, he's also a client of mine at Tresnik Media. So we help with his marketing strategy, content strategy, and his website stuff. But what's awesome about what they have going on is that they have multiple shows under their brand. So Matt, he did blow up on his own as Matt Faircloth and author, et cetera, through Bigger Pockets. But now they have Matt does a show on Mondays with Justin, and they answer questions from their audience, which is awesome. But then they also have another guy on their team, Irve. He does a show on his own going through, it's called Market Hunters, and he goes around, he doesn't go travel, but he talks about different markets around the country and how to think about investing in those areas and the trends and all that kind of stuff. And then Justin's got his own show as well. And so it's actually it's a business with multiple team members, and they all have a show. So it's, you know, I'm definitely going to either push him into talking about that beforehand, or jump in and ask him during the live Q&As that we have at PodMax to talk about, like, you know, having a business with a team, but using personal brands from everybody to really create a force multiplier for that engagement. Because like you said, everybody wants to do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so how can we do that through a business that has, you know, a founder and other people involved? Like, I'm always curious, you know, VaynerMedia is obviously one of the huge examples of, okay, maybe you're a marketing director and you follow Gary Vaynerchuk and you've been following him for a while. You like his thesis and whatever. So you want to work with VaynerMedia. It's like, well, but you're not working with Gary ever, you know, like, he's not working with clients. I don't, as far as I know. And if he is, it's not a lot of them. So, you know, how do you build
and if he is, you're not a startup.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, how do you build that relationship with people, but then also make sure that your team is highlighted so that people are not like, yeah, I'd love to work with Matt, but he's not the person I'd be working with. So the Rosa Group might not be the place that we want to work at. Right. So making sure that all that kind of stuff is balanced. Definitely going to be asking him about that stuff while he's at PodMax. So if you guys are interested in all that stuff, make sure you head over, register podmax.co. It is August 27th. But talking about personal branding and content creation, Amber, what's our topic for today?
We're going to be talking about, you know, those times where we just run out of things to say. I know that you guys have been listening to me and Todd for so long that you're like, does that ever happen? And the answer is yes, it does. We run out of things to say all the time. I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago, we were in a planning meeting. We're like, okay, what are we going to talk about? You know, and then it just comes because you have the conversations. Right. So what are we going to say? What are you going to talk about when you run out of things to talk about? How do you keep your audience engaged? We've been talking about niching down so much. Everybody's heard niche down, niche down, niche down. Well, what happens when you niche down so much that you only have four topics and you know, you're doing a show once a day? So we're going to talk about how to really get all of that to come together for your marketing plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And to put some flesh on the bone, I'm going to use a live example. I hope he doesn't mind. Free consulting for one of my members. He runs a carpet cleaning business. And so, you know, he's, you know, set up his lead gen funnel. He's got a great lead magnet with, you know, top seven carpet cleaning tips or top seven messes to clean with stuff you already have in your kitchen. Like, it's really good. It converts well. But then in his follow-up, it's like, okay, you know, you present an offer, you give some carpet cleaning tips, present your next offer. It's like, well, there's only so many carpet cleaning tips that exist, right? Like, but people only get their carpets cleaned. I mean, if you're on top of it, it's every 6 months, but really it's like every year or 2 years, or the week before a party where your in-laws are coming and you got to prep the house, right? Like,
you know me, like, minus the in-laws, but.
So, you know, how do you stay top of mind and build relationships with people? Because you do want to be consistently communicating with your audience once they've entered your ecosystem, because, you know, a couple things are that, one, just staying in front of them top of mind. Of course, if they only buy something that you sell every 6, 12, 18, 24 months, well, if you communicate with them today and they are 10 months away from buying, well, in 10 months, they're not going to remember you. So you need to spend time just staying frequent in front of them so they remember you, and building the relationship so that when the time comes, they know you've been adding value and they're just going to come directly to you versus going to somebody else. So, you know, we want to stay in front of them regularly. We want to add value so that we're building the relationship. Another reason that you want to stay in front of them consistently with content is you don't want every message you send to just be a sales promo, right? Because then that's when people either unsubscribe by clicking the unsubscribe button or unsubscribe mentally and just start ignoring you because they know, oh, here's another promo. Here's another promo, right? So you want to be able to offer content regularly so that you're creating a buffer in between those sales promos so that everything you do isn't just self-promotional. And then the last thing that I want to touch on here for being consistent, giving them content, is to educate and pre-frame what it is that you do. So that's going to make sales conversations way easier, right? Like, the more that your audience knows about what you do, how you do it, what it costs, what the process is, what they should expect, the less questions and conversations you're going to need to have in a sales call and the less convincing you need to do, right? So the more you can put into that relationship bank, the easier those sales conversations are going to be when they come up.
Yeah, 100%. And also screaming at me right now is one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're doing sales calls. And that's pretending or assuming that they know what's important to the person that they're talking to, right? So we run out of content because we say, oh my gosh, my audience already knows this. Mm-hmm. But when we step back and think, no, we already know it. So we think our audience knows it, and you break it down, it may seem repetitive to you, but you're telling them things. And then each person in your audience is going to think something different is important. So you might do something on price and someone's going to be like, that doesn't matter to me. I want to know about, you know, the procedure. And then you might do that. And the person's like, I don't care. I just want to know how much it costs. So you get to hit multiple people when you step back and break it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually my carpet cleaning client is a perfect example of this, where he knows all these things that, like, you know, if guacamole is on your couch, then this is the kind of thing you need to do right away. And this is what you should use on it. This is how you should actually physically approach, you know, do you scrub it? Do you wipe it? Do you try to pick it up? Blah, blah, blah. And then here's what you have to do afterwards. He's like, yeah, everybody knows that. I'm like, I didn't know one of those things that you just said. Like, you know?
No, me neither, because I'm still trying to figure out who I let in my house that would spill guacamole. Like, we don't waste that.
Clearly you don't have two-year-olds like running around the house. But and they don't let it waste. They do eat it off of the couch anyway. So, you know, it doesn't go to waste.
Now you got black guacamole and something else to clean up. So now you need two tips.
Exactly, exactly. How do we clean guacamole and drool out of the couch? That's what we need.
No. Yes.
But yeah, so that's the importance. But this is a perfect example of, great, you're generating leads, you got a nice flow of inbound people, you got, you know, your small percentage that sign up for a deal right away. You got a handful of tips you can give people and some valuable content around your specific service offering, but it just feels like it runs out of gas quickly. And the topic of carpet cleaning, it's like, look, we've talked in previous episodes about how do you expand on different things. You could tell stories in one of your things. You could do this, you could do that. But, you know, carpet cleaning isn't really something that I'm looking to get emails about every single week or that I need to see in my social feed every week. So what do we do in those situations is that that's where the adjacent content marketing comes into play. It's where you zoom out a little bit from your particular product or service like carpet cleaning, and you look what's still relevant, what's relevant to my audience and relevant to my business. Right? Like in our little Venn diagram, where's the overlap still? That is something we can have more creative conversations, better stories, things that keep people engaged without just hitting them with a bunch of carpet cleaning tips. And so then it becomes, oh, well, obviously, if they're, you know, they're looking for carpet cleaning tips initially, they are interested in having a clean house, keeping their house organized. Maybe they're running a chaotic household with a bunch of kids running around, or maybe they host parties a lot. So now all of a sudden you have all these different topics that, yeah, they're not 100% carpet cleaning, but they're still relevant to the type of people that you want to be engaged with in that topic, you know, in that kind of keeping a clean household. And so now you have, you know, really an unlimited amount of conversations, questions, tips, mistakes, all that kind of thing. When you look at just keeping in general, housekeeping, house cleaning, house organizing tips.
Yeah, absolutely. And this goes back to what you said about staying top of mind for your audience. I had a conversation with somebody in my networking group that does IT stuff. And I've always associated him with IT work, with setting up, you know, my equipment for my law firm and all that stuff. And then I was looking for a forensic technology to go through a phone for one of my cases. And I was like, where am I going to find one? Where am I going to find one? And then I'm sitting somewhere and someone says, oh yeah, I hired this guy. Didn't even think about it, right?
Yeah.
Because I had never associated him as that type of a person. So
right,
staying top of mind, but also talking about things that might be less common that you mm-hmm. do that somebody might need, because we never know what that next step right. is going to happen in somebody's life. And back to the carpet cleaning example, like what happens when they're ready to replace their carpet? And now you get to tell them like what carpet could save you on cleaning, right? Like those yep. conversations are great to have. So stepping out of it and saying, hey, like what is everything that someone needs to know about me? And then breaking that down into content and strategizing intentionally where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And when we talk about these different kind of topics and get ourselves associated with them for people, that's where we really activate the reticular activating system for our audience, right? And so for everybody, you know, we've mentioned it a bunch of times, reticular activating system is basically your brain subconscious scanning the environment for things that are familiar, opportunities, pain, et cetera. And then it catches things that it thinks you should be consciously aware of and then brings it to your conscious attention. And so if you are talking with someone and they say, yeah, you know, we're going, we need a new carpet. We're going to go shopping for carpets this weekend. I don't think I do, but you may not think of a carpet cleaner for that person. However, if you were connected with Paul and you saw him once in a while, how he talked about, you know, a lot of people think their carpet is done, but if you use this special method of dry carpet cleaning and this material that we have, it actually extends the life of your carpet another 5 years. And so if you're in the market for a new carpet because you think yours is done, this could help rejuvenate it. If you're in the market because you want to change up styles or whatever, you know, here's some, you know, advice on picking out a new carpet. But now all of a sudden, if you say that and one of your subscribers reads it, and then a couple months and then, you know, a couple weeks, months later, they're at a party and someone says, oh, yeah, you know, sorry, our carpet's so old. You know, we're actually going carpet shopping next week. We need to get a new one. Well, guess what? Now that person, that's going to trigger their brain to say, oh, you know, you might not need to actually buy a new one. You know, I know this guy, Paul, and he was telling me how the way that they do the carpet cleaning is actually adds another 5 years to the life of a carpet when they're just like, they look like worn out. So you might want to check that out. Now, all of a sudden, you're helping expand your reach through your audience by giving them other things to associate you with and trigger their active listening and, you know, put you together in their brain there to help you get more referrals and more business coming in from that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it works the other way too. If you're not talking about things, your reticular activating system hasn't been triggered to say, hey, I want these types of cases, or I want these types of, God, I'm still an attorney brain. I want these types of clients and this type of work. So when that opportunity arises, somebody, you know, doesn't think of you because you're not thinking of you because you're not talking about it. It was a huge hit to my ego the first time that a friend of mine ended up, having a mutual client of ours hire her for coaching. And I was really, really hurt that I wasn't hired for coaching. And then I thought, you know what? It is nobody's fault but my own. If that person doesn't know that I do one-on-one coaching, right? If they went somewhere else because they don't know I do it, that is not anybody else's fault but mine.
Yeah, this is a big theme, you know, in the some of the programs I'm in and, you know, comes with NLP type stuff too, is where you can't be mad at someone for not meeting expectations that you never told them about.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and so
it's so crazy. So, you know, if you have ever been in that situation where you're like, what, why didn't somebody come to me? Well, they didn't come to you because you didn't tell them that it was important to, or that you were an option. So going back to what you mentioned a couple of times in the last few episodes about, you know, how to easily come up with these topics, you know, we find ourselves in conversations every single day, answering questions for people, talking about things that are important. And then we go sit down at our computer to write content and we're like, I don't know what to say. So figure, like, if we could just record all those conversations that we had in our head. And I think that that's an amazing way to find out what's important to people, is to listen to the conversations you're having with them.
Yeah, totally. And a quick tip for anybody who, you know, if you're thinking, oh, that's me, I'm always having these conversations, I always have ideas and I don't keep track of them. I've used a few different ways of capturing my ideas. Use the notes app on your phone and just keep a run, keep one note and a list of stuff where you could just brain dump. So when you're having that conversation, pop open that note and put it there. If you want to use Evernote, then you can get into the tagging system, which is cool. I use Trello cards. So each different idea I have is a Trello card. So there's a lot of different ways you can capture your ideas throughout the day, but really it's just taking that 10 minute, 20 minutes, one time to set up a Trello board or to set up a note, you know, a note in your notes app or an Evernote notebook. Like whatever it is, take that 10 or 15 minutes just to set it up. And now all of a sudden you can capture your ideas on the fly throughout the day as you're having them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're like me and you won't actually open your note app, and so you got to take it a step further, there's actually a way that you can program your Siri commands. And so I will just trigger Siri and say, add this to my to-do list, and it adds it to a Trello card because I won't pull it up and type it. By the time I do, by the time I have my phone and I try to open my Trello cards up, I've been distracted by seven other things.
Yeah. So. I've actually I've saved the Trello new card URL as a bookmark or an app or whatever on my home screen. You know how you can like bookmark something from the browser on your home screen? So I went to Trello and went to the board, went to new card, saved that to my home screen. And so now I can just tap that, type it, you know.
I love it. Easy. We digress a little bit, but I think that this is proof that we need to do an episode on all the tools and tricks and tips that we picked up. Because like that's power. I never thought about that, of putting that as a home screen, but that would save a ton of time.
Yeah. So, or just simplest way too, email yourself. That's another simple thing I do sometimes too.
So. Absolutely. So let's talk about what we are really looking for here. So when we are saying, all right, I realize that there's more that I have to say. I know that I need to get in front of my audience. I know that I need to create more content. Mm-hmm. What's the next step?
Yeah. So we zoom out and we say, okay, we want, you know, we're carpet cleaning. We've got 10 relevant things. That's about it. Let's zoom out. Now we want to look at home cleaning, home organizing. So now let's pick one of those topics and start going down. And then just, you know, if that's not your area of expertise, what's cool about that, when you're the carpet cleaner or whatever, you know, insert your service providerness here, you can curate content. Right. So go and Google home organizing tips and spend 25 minutes looking at different websites that are putting out stuff. Look for good quality brands that you would trust and use their content. Right. Like then you can send out emails to your list on a regular basis and say, hey, you know, if you're having a party coming up this weekend, here's some handful of tips to make sure your house is clean, prepped, organized before your party starts from Better Homes and Gardens or whatever, right? And you can, in your email, you just put a couple little things and then you link over to their article, because you're still the one who's delivering the value to your audience. You're not trying to steal or take credit from somewhere else, right? You're not plagiarizing. You're just the sharer and curator of this value, which is making you relevant, you know, to your audience and valuable and all that kind of stuff we talked about before. So I think that's one way, is to curate content from other places and share on social, same thing. Share the links to other places. And then the other thing is, now is where you can really take your business to the next level with some, not repurposing, but just, you know, squeezing more juice out of this, is what about making, building relationships with strategic partners by having them guest contribute? So if you have a podcast, or you just want to do some, like, you know, live videos or recorded videos with a guest, or have them contribute, you know, as a guest post on your blog, where you say, all right, I'm a carpet cleaner. Now I'm going to tap into, how about I just look up all the interior designers in my town and the surrounding towns and reach out to them and say, hey, I'm looking to put out more, you know, more home organization tips for people in North Jersey. I'd love, you know, would you be interested in contributing? I'll feature you on my website. I'll have you as a guest, whatever it is. And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, they're going to want to say yes. So then that opens a relationship now with someone who, guess what? Any interior designer who's going to a place that's got carpets is now going to be having your business card in their pocket to drop off. So now you're actually creating more strategic partner referral opportunities by teaming up and partnering with these people.
Yeah, absolutely. And understanding, in order to do that, like, it requires this understanding that when we're talking about this big umbrella of something, like, let's say marketing, Todd is a person that I think of when I think of marketing, but you can have a conversation with him and he'll be like, no, I do this. I don't necessarily do this. Right. So let's figure out what you do compared to what somebody else does and create those strategic partners. And this is where that growth mindset and that abundance mindset has to come into play. Like, this doesn't work if you are still in a scarcity mindset where you believe that competition is a thing. You know, believing that competition doesn't exist, you attract the people that you're supposed to attract. Somebody else is going to attract the people that works for them, and you get to work together to impact the world. If you're worried about, well, who gets the credit, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, totally. It's all about, you know, the rising tide that lifts all ships, right? How do we, you know, do this stuff? And of course, you know, the principle that my coach talks about is called INE, right? It's the law of reciprocity. And it's just putting out and giving. And it might not be direct, you know, it's not that I'm giving out and giving value to you here right now, and then you're going to be the person who directly reciprocates that. Although oftentimes it is, but I also just believe in putting value out and it will come back to you multiplied in from other areas that you might not be expecting.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the best way to get somebody to refer you business is to refer them business first.
Yeah.
So when you give somebody something, when you say, hey, I thought of you, when you make that connection, when you're talking to somebody and you've built your network up so much that somebody is telling you something that they need or someone they want to meet and you have a guy and you make that connection, like that's how you really stay top of mind is by solving problems for people, by giving them referrals, making connections. And then that gets sent back to you tenfold.
Yeah. And if you don't have relationships with those strategic partners, reaching out and asking them for guest contribution, if you know, or to be a guest on your show or whatever it is, like, you know, that's an awesome, very valuable, you know, collaborative win-win-win, right? You win because you get the content to share with your audience wins because they get the valuable content from the guest, and the guest wins because they get to be featured as an expert and get to reach more people that they weren't reaching before. So definitely a great way to increase your content library with things that are relevant for your audience and your business. Helps you build relationships with new strategic partners. And, you know, they might even reciprocate the other way. Like maybe you'll be able to contribute and send stuff if they do social and email marketing, where maybe you can now take the tips that, you've heard a million times and you've given them to your audience, but now let's take that show on the road and let's go put that stuff out for somebody else so you can reach new people with that same message. You don't need to continuously be coming up with new ideas for content, new content itself, and just be on that hamster wheel. If you get some content that works and you've reached a couple hundred people, well, now how do we just reach more people with that same stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tapping into other channels, other people's audiences is a great way to do that.
Absolutely. And I know this is going to sound crazy to everybody listening, but the best way to find out what's important to your audience is to ask your audience what's important to them. So when you get to that point where you're like, I don't know what to talk about, how about a post that just says, hey, when you think of carpet cleaning, what's the first thing that you think of? When you think of carpet, like how long has it been since you cleaned your carpet and why, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
When you put that out there, they're going to tell you. People love to tell you what's in their mind. You just get to ask them for it. But too many times we sit down and we think, oh my gosh, I got to say the right thing. I got to do the right thing. I got to give them content that's valuable to them instead of just saying, hey, like, what do you want me to talk about? And then creating your content from that list of amazing ideas you get.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Before we go down this little rabbit hole of engagement prompts and questions for your audience, which I have a couple tips on, and we are going to make a full episode. I do also want to just give some props to my buddy, Nick Berry, who is over at CoverDesk. He is somebody that I talk about adjacent content marketing with a lot. He's always bringing that up to the table. So Nick, thank you for that. Credit you with inspiring a little bit on the topic for today's show. But when it comes to asking your audience, we have Ryan Levesque is a great resource. He's got a book, he's got a course, he's got blog posts. Check out his guest on podcast, gives away a ton of value. Ryan Levesque, Ask Method. For getting information from your audience. But what we've been noticing lately, I want to say the last few months at least, but this year, is that when we are putting out questions and engagement stuff for the audience, there's some stuff that resonate or some stuff that gets traction with comments and some stuff that doesn't get comments. And then there's some stuff that doesn't get comments, but it gets DMs. And so when you ask for stuff, keep in mind that you don't want your audience to feel ashamed or have to feel like they're being vulnerable by answering your question, right? So we have one of our clients is in health and wellness and fitness. And so if we ask a question about where are you struggling with your weight or where are you struggling with your fitness? Yes, when we go through our exercises internally around marketing, that's how we phrase that question. But think about when someone says that to you that you don't know, like it's one thing if you're sitting down with somebody, you've had a couple conversations and they ask you that. But if you just pose a question out there and say, hey, where are you struggling with your fitness? There's a couple things that happen. Number one, you're forcing them to have to think about their whole situation, which is a negative situation that they may not just, they're just like, they may start wanting to think like, ooh, I'd love to ask this person a question. I can't really think about that. It makes me feel bad. I don't want to think about it anymore. Two, it might just be a matter of they don't have the time or energy to feel like, I have to think about this. How do I articulate it? I've never thought this through before. right? So they don't know how to ask questions about the topic, right? Because they're not the experts on it. They just know they're struggling. But then again, like, I am struggling and I can't stop myself from eating cotton candy Pop Rocks ice cream at 8:30 every night because that's what my five-year-old is begging for, which is the weirdest combination of ice cream I've ever seen, but whatever. But I don't want to post a comment on Facebook or Instagram that says, I can't stop eating cotton candy Pop Rocks ice cream at 8:30 because my five-year-old asked for it, right? Like, that's embarrassing. And so make sure that you're making it easy for people to respond to you. If there is something where we've taken that, so, you know, we get the car on the road and then we navigate, right? So we started off with, where are you struggling? We didn't get a lot of responses. We did this was with a couple different businesses. I can't remember off the top of my head the other ones. But where we started to get more traction was, where are you struggling? With most of our clients, we see A, B, or C. And so for anyone who's struggled to articulate, giving them the multiple choice A, B, or C, that helps them like, ooh, A is definitely where I'm at, right? Or B or C, whatever. So for anybody who doesn't have the time, energy, or thoughtfulness to articulate their question, that multiple choice will help you get some traction there. But just keep in mind, you don't want to do something where you're asking them to go into a negative space or to share something vulnerable that they're going to be embarrassed about. Because although they might be seeing it and engaging mentally, like in their head, they're like, ooh, that's a good question. This is the answer. I'm not commenting on that. You don't want to put them in that position, right? You want to do something that will, or that's where you can say, if you're feeling vulnerable, shoot me a DM, right? And Some people will, some people won't.
You know, it's really interesting because there's these communication styles that we talk about when we're doing one-on-one conversations or one-to-many conversations that also go into marketing and these sales conversations. But probably the biggest one that's screaming at me right now is that there's two different types of communicators and listeners. There's inferential communicators and literal communicators.
So what are those?
When you're talking to somebody and you say, hey, what's your biggest problem right now? A inferential listener might respond to me like, oh, he wants to know what my biggest problem is right now. So I'm going to tell him, where a literal listener will say, okay, I thought about it. What do you want me to do next? Right? Because they need, so it's the difference between, and this might be the best example I can give you. How many of you have ever been sitting at a table with somebody or you're sitting around maybe watching a movie with friends and family and you just say out loud, I'm thirsty. And all of a sudden you have two different types of people. One person has a glass of water next to you within a couple of seconds because I'm thirsty meant, can somebody please get me a glass of water? And the other person is like, sweet.
Right.
Like, you know, like, okay.
Well, this is the classic conversation with Rosie Perez and Woody Harrelson from White Men Can't Jump, right? Like going yes. back 25 years where that's exactly what she says. She says, when I say I'm thirsty, I want you to empathize with me and understand what thirst really means. I don't mean I want you to solve all my problems for me.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you take this in to consideration, you have inferential listeners and literal listeners, but you also have inferential communicators and literal communicators. So if you are an inferential communicator talking to literal listeners and you say, hey, what's your biggest problem? They're going to be like, okay, I thought of it. Now, what do you want me to do? Which is why call to actions are so important. DM me with your biggest problem. That's the next step. Okay, I can do that. Yeah. So just remember that when you're doing your post, if you're that person that would get up and get that glass of water when somebody says they're thirsty and you think to yourself, I don't understand why everybody doesn't do this. What is wrong with humanity? This is what's wrong with humanity. There's two different types of listeners and communicators. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. All right. So this was a great episode. Just to recap, if you are feeling like you don't really have a long runway of content ideas or things are just getting too redundant, what you can do is zoom out a level on the topics that you're looking at and go above the level of niche of your service or product and go a little higher level. Look at other places with good content that you can curate so you can save yourself some time. You don't have to be an expert if you're curating that content. And look for strategic partners who are non-competitive but have the same audience. And so you can use this, you know, collaborative content creation with them to open relationships with them and create a referral flow between the two of you, as well as now them reaching your audience, you reaching their audience and all that kind of good stuff. So that's what we have to tell you about adjacent content marketing and how it could work for your business if you feel like you're getting too redundant and running out of ideas that are not filling the gap in the sales cycle where you need to be building the relationship with your audience. And if this is the kind of stuff that you're into, you want to be creating content, you want your personal brand to be growing, then podmax.co is where you're going to register. August 27th is our next event. We are going to get you on other podcasts that day, three other shows you'll be on so that you can reach a new audience of people to hear your message, as well as all the community that you'll get to connect with there and find strategic partners for your business. Plus, our two keynotes are going to be talking about this topic on content creation. We're going to have Caleb Silver, the editor-in-chief of Investopedia, about why they started their podcast, how it's going, how it's working, what's going well, what's difficult, and how they're solving for it. And celebrity Matt Faircloth, on content creation and personal branding as it relates to your business. So please go and register podmax.co. It is August 27th, and we hope to see you guys there. Amber will be there. I'll be there.
Yep, I'll be there. Optimus Todd will be there. We'll be good to go. If you don't get the reference, then you clearly dropped the ball and didn't watch the PodMax show. So you should go back and check out Optimus Todd. But even outside of the amazing opportunities for podcasting and the keynotes that are going to be there, I promise you that you will leave with so many new connections and so many new friends. This show, Todd and I are a product of PodMax and meeting there and having those conversations. So do yourself a favor and come meet some amazing people August 27th.
And speaking of meeting amazing people, a lot of our listeners might be traveling to the same place as you this weekend, right? Where are you headed?
I am not going anywhere, but I have a meeting with Pablo Gonzalez from our community here in Vegas, which is going to be amazing. And then next weekend, I'm heading to Idaho. And on your note, I connected with three or four people that on my way home, this is my non-legal business tip for you. So take off my attorney hat. I have four or five connection meetings that I'm going to take from the drive from here to Idaho. And now my trip home's a business trip.
Oh, there you go. Easy write-offs. I love it. But I do believe it is podcast movement is this weekend. So I think Josh Carey's there. I think Rob's there. I think Larry might be going. I saw a picture of him. I don't know if that was for this year or last year, but a lot of the PodMax community will be there. So if you guys are around, hop in into the PodMax Facebook group and post to see if anybody's going to be there. But August 27th, let's definitely see you guys at that event, which is podmax.co. That's a virtual event and you can attend from anywhere. So get your ticket, register today, and we will catch you next week.
Bye, guys.
Tuned in to the On Air Brands Podcast.